This is VOC's John Dwyer, and you're listening to KTSW.
San Marcos.
Coming at you live from the KTSW studios in San Marcos, Texas, this is Bobcat Radio.
So, guys, this is Bobcat Radio, as you heard in the intro. We have quite a show today, and Andrew, I don't know what that move is. Is that the,
It's what the cool kids are doing nowadays.
I call that the white man boogie down. He's wearing his NBA, All-Star, number 23 shirt. You are an NBA All-Star, Andrew. I just want to let you know. You are an All-Star today. You're filling in for Brendan Snow.
Who just retweeted and liked our tweet, so obviously he could be here.
Brendan Snow is busy. I think he's going to a wedding, if I'm not mistaken. That being said, he's got a good reason. Andrew Zimmel, Reed Graff, Parker Ray, we're all here. We're all in the building. We're going to be the Friday show. We do have Cordell Patrick calling in with a special guest at 11:10. And we also have Gabe Trade calling in, former Texas State Bobcat football player, calling in at 11:30. So that is that to recap everything. And you guys can call in maybe after that at 512-245-3473. If you have any questions or just want to chime in on the show, you can. I want to start things off with Texas State softball. They're 26-8, 8-0 conference. And they have won four in a row, and their last win was Tuesday night. I believe it was Wednesday night. It was a 6-2 win over Lamar University out of Beaumont. Right now, this team is just rolling. We haven't really given them a whole lot of coverage. They do play tomorrow, a doubleheader Saturday, and they also play Sunday as well against South Alabama. And like I said, they're 8-0 in conference. But that being said, guys, this softball team has really picked up their game lately. They're not really getting a whole lot of coverage. I believe they're ranked 25th in the nation now.
They are.
Going into the Lamar game, and I guess that's still the same because I guess they update the rankings every week. But 25th in the nation, that's pretty dang good. We were talking about the Bobcats baseball team being ranked 30. Well, the softball team's ranked 25, and we haven't talked much about them, Reed. So what have you noticed from this team so far this year?
Well, they're good at everything, and they're second in the Sun Belt in team batting average. They are fourth in team slugging with a .428. They have the best pitcher maybe in all of college softball. You can make that argument. We have the lowest team ERA. Randy Rupp has the most strikeouts in the nation. Is there anything else I need to say? They have yet to lose in Sun Belt play. They've got a pretty good series going on this weekend. Of course, it's the Bella's Golds game. Earlier in this offseason, they gave a one-day scholarship to a young lady fighting cancer. Her name is Bella. And so this weekend, they're dedicating this three-game series to that young lady named Bella. So they're asking their fans. So if you do go to the games this weekend, make sure to wear gold because they're going to be wearing their gold jerseys all weekend long. It's for a good cause.
Yeah. I just want to hint, Randy Rupp has pitched 148 and two-thirds of an innings, and she has 200 strikeouts. So if I add that up, if I do the math correctly, that's more than one strikeout per inning, Reed, and that's pretty dang good. And I'm not even a math major, and I figured that out.
So proud of you,
that
Parker.
Being said, she is mowing them down, lighting them up. Andrew, you've said some pretty good things about Randy Rupp on the Monday show. What has it been like following this team this year?
So I've talked to other people covering this team because you say every week I'm on this show. You're like, oh, we don't cover this team enough. I feel like I do an adequate job.
Well, okay, the Monday show does.
So here's what I have to say. Because I've raised this question with Randy Rupp. Randy Rupp, clearly one of the best pitchers, if the best pitcher to ever put on a Texas State softball uniform. But she's playing in the Sun Belt Conference. And I, by no means am I, downplaying the competition. You only get to play who you play. But there has to be something said for doing so well against your conference, but, not having a great record against, the Big 12 or, the SEC or, these other bigger conferences that she plays in. So I asked a question this week on Twitter. I said, hey, if Randy Rupp played, in the Big 12, would she be this dominant or would she just be another player? And I got mixed reviews coming back saying, she'd still be very good. And I agree. I think that Randy Rupp is very good. But I don't know. I'd like to see what this team does in the playoffs, because what Alex Gibbs says all the time, what Reed says all the time, is, you really make your money, playing in the playoffs. And this team is going to play in the Sun Belt Tournament, and I have a very strong hunch that this team is going to be able to play in the Softball World Series. What are you going to do there? Because if Randy Rupp, keeps this momentum, keeps playing the way she's playing in the World Series, well then, hands down, it's game over.
And I'm glad you hinted on her, you know, her record against big name teams, because of course their last big name opponent was against Texas. They lost 0-3. They did beat number 12 ranked Baylor 5-2.
That's what I was looking at. And then if you
know, I'm going to say they lost to A&M 6-3. You go back, they lost to Arizona State 4-3. Then you look up, they lost to Boston College 4-3, and then you look up and they lost to Florida State twice, number nine ranked Florida State twice early on.
But even in that first game against Florida State, Randy Rupp went 7 innings, gave up 4 runs, struck out 5. That was not a terrible outing. And then her best outing, debatably, against a ranked team is against the number 11 ranked Baylor, where she went 7 innings, only gave up 8 hits, 2 earned runs, struck out 2, got the win.
But the thing is, Reed, like, I'm not even talking about this season only. Like, we're talking like her entire career. Like, if it was just this season that she was struggling against like big name teams, then I would say I don't know, you know, it's a fluke. Maybe these other teams are, you know, playing at a very high level. But this has been an entire career, right? And if I hate to be this guy, but I'm going to be the pessimist, I guess, when we look back on Randy Rupp's career, she is a senior. When we look back on the career, are we going to say, like, oh, wow, she was really good, but, you know, there's always, every great player has that, oh, this player was really great, but, you know, KGT, who graduated last year from the men's basketball team, where we said, like, oh, he was a really great player, but he kind of struggled in the Sun Belt Conference tournament every year. You know, Randy Rupp is a great softball pitcher, arguably the best one ever, but she's struggling against big-name teams. I'm just saying what I'm seeing on paper. Maybe I'm wrong. I
mean, well, here's going back to last year in a 2-1 win over Texas University. Randy Rupp threw 7 innings, only gave up 5 hits, 1 earned run, struck out 6. That's pretty good to me. Then let's look at this Auburn game. Just a few days later, they took on number 2 ranked Auburn. And then Randy Rupp goes, she only goes 5 innings, giving up 4 earned runs, but she does strike out 7. So even then, against a number 2 team, that's pretty respectable. Looking at her counterpart, Martin went 6 innings against the Bobcats, giving up 2 hits and 1 earned run. So it's not like she's gone against these top-ranked teams and been blown out of the building.
I'm not saying that she's throwing up T-balls for these guys, but the wins and losses is what really tells a story. You can only go off the wins and losses and the record.
But even then, only giving up 4 earned runs, you have to, and you don't, they lost that game 5-2, right? You got to get something from your offense as well, so you can't put the entire loss on
exactly.
Randy's
and
shoulders.
You can't do that with any sport. You can't just blame one player.
Yeah, the team. I would say the team has struggled as a whole against tougher teams, which is
so
what,
now you're ranked. Now the softball.
Now that you're ranked, you have to play up to those standards. And the next game against a tough team is going to be a Big 12 opponent. It's going to be a rematch against Texas, the I-35 rivals there down the road. And you know, we play them in San Marcos, so that's a good thing. You know, of course we lost to them earlier in the season, but that's going to be the next game coming up. And
so they play UT in San Marcos, and then the next. You know, so that's next Wednesday, and then next Saturday they play Louisiana, play the Raging Cajuns.
And that'll be, of course, the big conference test, the one team in the conference that scares people.
Exactly. So you play 4 games really hard all in a row. Now, you can't look too far ahead. You got to, you know, continue to play against opponents you have. You play South Alabama this weekend. But if you're a softball fan, you got to look forward to those matchups and say, okay, this is really where if the team struggles against these 4 games in this 4-game stretch, say they go 2-2, Reed, or 1-3. Does that change the way you think of them?
I don't think so. I still think they're definitely going to run the Sun Belt. I don't think that's really much of a dispute. The only teams that are really much of competitive is Louisiana Lafayette and then South Alabama. So this should be an interesting weekend because they're not a bad team by any means. So
you're stretching it to 7 games. So like these next 7 games that the Bobcats play. Personally, I think that this is what's going to determine their season.
I think I bet they go 6-1 over that 7-game stretch.
I will shake your hand on that. I do not think they go 6-1.
6-1.
That's good. Hey, you guys heard it here live on Bobcat Radio. That's a pretty good bet. I'm glad Reed is being optimistic there. And, you know, this team is something to be proud of. I will say that. And we're all proud of this team. We just have a little bit of a – we have to wait and see. We have to wait and see how this team does. But before I let you guys go on the break, I want to tell you guys we're sponsored by the University Bookstore. Located on the second floor of the LBJ Student Center, the University Bookstore provides support for Texas State programs, departments, events, and organizations. More info at bookstore.txstate.edu or at 245-2273. We come back, have our buddy Cordell Patrick calling in, and have a special guest with him as well. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW, San Marcos.
Support for KTSW comes from Buzzmo Frontier Diner, presenting Curtis Clogston and Friends Bluegrass Night every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Buzzmo Frontier Diner, 194 South Guadalupe Street and on Facebook and Twitter at Buzz Mills San Marcos.
If you're looking for a good time, look no further. We've got music, culture, and exceedingly talented dancers right here on campus. Orquestas Dance Company presents Disconnected at the Evans Auditorium on February 22nd and 23rd at 7:30 p.m. More information can be found at theateranddance.txstate.edu. A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
Listen up, Texas State students. Are you looking to get involved on campus? KTSW is hiring for summer and fall of 2018. We have departments such as production, news, sports, graphics, and many more. Throughout the semester, we host many events, one being the monthly lunchbox concert hosted at LBJ Amphitheater. You could be a part of these events. Time management, a good work ethic, and creativity is all desired to work at KTSW. You can apply at ktsw.net, and the current staff will need to reapply to be hired again. More information can also be found at ktsw.net. Don't miss out.
This is Cordell Patrick, Texas State alum, Texas State former basketball player, award-winning sportscaster. When I'm in town in San Marcos, I always listen to KTSW Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show live from KTSW Studios. I'm Parker Ray, and the Friday crew joins me, but we have a special guest, calls in every Friday, the award-winning sportscaster, Texas State's own Cordell Patrick, and I hear he also has a special guest on the line as well. So, Cordell, how you doing, and who's your special guest?
Well, first of all, I have to mention about last week. I just want to let everyone, I'm getting a lot of phone calls and everything about the Kansas Jayhawks. If you re-rack the show from last week, I never picked Kansas to win. Never did.
You're right. You can listen back to the air checks. That checks out. You knew Villanova was going to be tough. You were just being a good supporter of your team.
Being a great supporter of Kansas. I grew up 15 minutes from campus just supporting my Jayhawks. Now, I said that they would make it to the Final Four. You never heard me say they're going to win another game after that.
You were actually very honest about that, Cordell. I'm glad you brought that up.
Now that we fact-checked that, let's move on to this week. Once again, welcome to the Sports Line. Richard Francis Dennis Berry III, a.k.a. Rick Berry. Hey, Rick, how's it going? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Cordell, happy to do it. Yeah, I was disappointed that the Jayhawks couldn't get it done. Of course, my son Scooter on the 88th inning of the Miracle team. So that's the only one I had any connection to this year. Of course, last year I was rooting for Florida with my son Canyon playing on that team. And so unless you have somebody that you're really close to,
right, exactly.
at least for me, it doesn't matter. I just hope it's a good game. And unfortunately, that game was not a good game.
No, it was not. It was not. Rick, we're honored to have you, Rick. I mean, we've only been doing this for a couple of weeks. Our first guest was, as I told you earlier, Rick, George Gervin. We were honored to have him on. Last week to, you know, celebrate Kansas make to the Final Four, we had Darnell Valentine on, and we followed up with a Rick Berry. Hey, we're on a roll over here at KFCW.
We really are. We really are.
People there, Iceland is a dear friend of mine. We do some fishing and stuff together, and I'll be seeing George actually this weekend. The ABA is having a 50th anniversary celebration up in Indianapolis that I'm heading up to, and the Iceman will be up there, and so I'm looking forward to seeing him and a lot of other great ABA players. Spencer Haywood will be there, and the Doc is supposed to be there. I'm assuming that that new inductee into the Hall of Fame who will be getting inducted in September, Charlie Scott, will probably wind up being there, and Dan Issel. And supposedly, they expect to have like maybe 200 guys who have played more guys from the ABA that should be there.
Yeah, I want to ask this last question before I turn over to Parker. Rick, really, seriously, Rick, leading scorer in the NCAA, leading scorer in the ABA, and the NBA. That's just an amazing stat. Of course, the ABA is not around anymore. But even just with the NCAA, to lead the NCAA in scoring in the NBA, I don't think that'll ever be done again.
Well, nobody will do all three of them, that's for sure, since the NBA doesn't exist anymore. So that's a record that will never be broken. But I always tell people, hey, you take enough shots, you can score.
Parker.
Yes, sir. Rick, first off, I want to thank you for calling in. I grew up sort of watching your sons play, Brent and John Berry. Both had a little bit of time with the Houston Rockets. I'm a Houston Rockets fan myself. That being said, I kind of wanted to ask you about the, you got to play in the ABA, you got to play in the NBA. Not many players get to say they did both, and you were very successful in both leagues, I might add. I just wanted to know what the difference was between the, if there was any difference between the competition in the ABA versus the NBA, and what were the two different experiences playing in both leagues?
Well, actually, the teams weren't as good as teams in the NBA because they had so much more depth. They had been around for a long time, but obviously there were a lot of great individual stars, and they did have some very good teams over the years. And, you know, a lot of the Rockets teams were good teams, and certainly the Kentucky Colonels with Artis Gilmore and Dan Issel and Louis Dampy year. I mean, all Hall of Famers. So, yeah, there were. But the difference was it was a real super up-tempo style of game, a more guard-oriented. Didn't have a lot of great big men. Other than guys like Gissel and Gilmore, there weren't a whole bunch of those guys around. And that was back in the days when the NBA had some of the greatest centers ever, when they actually had the center on the All-Star ballot, because they had centers like Will Chamberlain and Nate Thurman and Bill Russell, Walt Bellamy. I mean, it was a totally different, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar came along later. But you know, now it's changed. I mean, a lot of times you watch NBA games, you don't even have a center on the court. So it was a different world. But it was really very much more of an up-tempo type of a game, guard-oriented, perimeter-oriented. Of course, the three-point shot really changed everything. And the NBA eventually adopted that. You can see what it's doing to the game. Look at what the Warriors are able to do. They've got three great three-point shooters who can drive and also shoot free throws well. How do you defend that? You really can't. You cannot defend that team. And you just have to pray that, you know, the Warriors aren't on their game and not shooting the ball well to have any chance at all of beating them. And I think you're going to see more and more shooters developing and coming into the game. And I've always said that if the three-point shot was used judiciously and properly, it's an incredible weapon because it opens up the floor for other opportunities. But you can live and die with it. I mean, a couple of seasons ago when the Warriors lost the Cavaliers, they died with the three-point shot. I mean, unfortunately, Draymond got suspended in that series. But in the final game, Game 7 at home, the last 4 minutes and 20 seconds of that game, you go back and watch the tape, other than a breakaway layup that Draymond Green had, that I think LeBron James made the play of the series and blocked that shot, which I think if he hadn't done that, I don't think Cleveland could have won. The Warriors took everything from the perimeter. It was all perimeter, three-point shots. I mean, and they didn't make anything, and they killed them.
For those listening out there, Rick Barry, of course, drafted by the San Francisco Warriors, who, of course, then turned into the Golden State Warriors. Now, Rick, I don't even know if you can do this, but I'm going to ask the question and see if you can rack your brain, come up with the answer. Is there a most memorable moment in your basketball career, ABA or NBA, something that stands out?
Well, since you mentioned it, you asked the question that way, I have to give it a little bit more thought. I mean, if it was just my most precious memory as basketball, I would have been sitting in the stands watching my son Scooter what turned out to be the winning free throw against Oklahoma in the 1988 NBA championship game.
Well, you can have two answers. There you go.
Yeah, well, that's my answer for just my most memorable basketball memory. But from the standpoint of my career, it would have to be winning the championship in 75. I mean, we had a team that was the greatest upset in the history, I think, of not only the NBA in the finals, but all the other major sports. I always tell people, tell me another team in the major sports in this country, or a team that was as big an underdog as we were, that wasn't even supposed to be a playoff team, winds up getting to the finals and is supposed to be the biggest mismatch in the history of the league, and we're supposed to get swept, and we sweep the team that was supposed to sweep us. It doesn't get more dramatic than that. And I think that was an incredible accomplishment. I don't think my teammates got the credit they deserve. I don't think our team got the credit that we deserve. They've done all these 30-30 and all these different features on all these other teams and things that happened, and nobody's ever done anything on that, which is an incredible accomplishment that took place. And we were a team the way a team should have been, a team that everybody pulled together, everybody sacrificed, everybody tried to do what was best for the team, not for themselves. And it was like a family. So without question, that would be my fondest memory.
Yeah. Cordell Patrick, the Snake from Los Angeles, California, talking to Rick Barry, also back in the studio. Parker Ray in San Marcos. Next question, Parker.
Yes, sir. So, Rick, I obviously you're a Warriors guy, and rightfully so. You paved the way for that franchise. Coming from a Rockets fan, I just want you to be completely honest with me. I think we can go ahead and say the Rockets and Warriors are probably going to play in the Western Conference Finals. How do you see that series going, and do you give the Rockets any chance to beat the Warriors and go to the NBA Finals?
There's always a chance, and unfortunately, the Warriors are obviously not anywhere near 100%. They just got KD and Clay back, and you know, Draymond is still not 100%. Clay, we don't know when Steph's coming back, so there are a lot of big question marks with the Warriors as to whether they're going to get themselves back healthy enough to be able to defend their title. And the Rockets, for a while, they were playing unbelievably great basketball. They had an amazing record. And it's just a matter, I think, if I was a Rockets fan and involved with the Rockets again, I would be concerned that maybe they peaked a little bit early, because it's hard to maintain that high a level of performance. And you know, maybe they peaked a little bit early. Who knows? But it's still it's still a little bit early. You still got a number of games left. And let's see what happens and who's the healthiest going into the playoffs and how well they're playing at that time. And you can make a better evaluation. I always get a kick out of when I have some of the talking heads on TV, all the purported experts, talking about the playoffs in freaking December and January and February. Are you kidding me? Like, what's going on then is irrelevant. That's crazy. That's like, I mean, anybody could take a guess to say what might happen, but it doesn't doesn't have any relevance until you get down to the mid part of April, and then you can take the true evaluation. So it's going to be fun to see what happens, but it's wide open right now. And look at what happened. All of a sudden, Boston's probably out of the equation with Kyrie going out. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, there's a team that was supposed to be fighting with Cleveland, along with the Toronto team. Anything other than those two teams, or those three, now probably only two, probably Cleveland or Toronto. If anybody other than those two winds up winning in the East, that would be a shocker. And in the West now, the Warriors are hurting, so we don't know what's going to happen to them. Certainly, you put the Rockets up there at the top the way that they've been playing. If Kawhi Leonard comes back, there's not a lot of time left. Now, if Kawhi, he came back, then you still got to throw San Antonio into the mix because they're always still very dangerous. But, right now, the Rockets are at the top. The Warriors would have to be, secondary right now. And then the only other team that you can throw into the mix that's been playing exceptionally well of late would be the Portland Trailblazers.
Mm-hmm. Well, KSTW is located in Spur Country, Rick, if you didn't know that. So.
Well, I have a lot of respect for the Spurs and what Greg's done down there and RC. And, of course, my son Brent had the good fortune of being on two championship teams playing for the Spurs. And I've always respected what they've done, and I think teams have kind of copied them. I mean, the Warriors basically are playing the kind of basketball that the Spurs have played for years. Got to give a lot of credit to Pop because, most people, if you evaluate it, Pop changed his coaching style. When all of a sudden you started getting these assets, you got a Kawhi Leonard. In fact, my son Brent even said, wow, would I love to be playing for the Spurs even now. Because back when he played, they didn't run like they do now. They didn't push it. They didn't get down the floor and, shoot those threes. And Brent would have flourished in that type of a game.
Right.
And, he played well and did exceptionally well under the other style because he knows how to play. But in the style that the Spurs were playing when Kawhi was there, wow, that would have been really fun for him playing that. Give Pop credit, he was willing to make a change. He wasn't so stuck in his own ways. No, we're going to play the game this way. No, you adapt the game according to the personnel that you have offensively. You have to do that.
Yes, sir, Rick. So I thank you. I always just want to thank you again for calling in. I got one more question for you. Listening to, hearing Brent Barry and John Barry, but watching them play on different teams, they both kind of had stints with the Rockets as well. How cool is it to have your son, have both your sons play in the league and fulfill their dreams of being NBA players? You got to do it, and now to watch your kids do it, that's got to be an amazing feeling as a father.
Well, yeah, I sometimes take my head in astonishment. I was hoping that one of my boys might be good enough to play basketball. Well, I've had five boys. All five have gotten Division I college scholarships. All five have played professionally. My son Scooter should have been in the NBA. Larry Bird and Mikhail told me the year he came out, your son deserved to be on our team. He was better than our number one pick. Unfortunately, back then they only had 12-man rosters, and they had 13 no-cut contracts, so he wound up playing overseas, and he played overseas until he was 40 years old.
Wow.
Heck, he still plays on the Olympic club team that plays around the country. They won the national championship. He still can dunk, and he's 51 years old.
Yeah.
So, but he was a good player as well, and my son Canyon's playing overseas. Hopefully, he's still going to get a chance to come back here and play. I think he has the ability to play in the NBA if given the chance. He's putting up, terrific numbers where he's playing, but he just needs to get an opportunity. And we'll see what happens, this coming season when he comes back home from overseas. So it's a pretty remarkable situation when you think about it, to have that many boys to be able to excel and then for them to go in. And even Scooter and Drew also did some broadcasting work and did quite well. So tell me the odds on a father having four, five sons, all five following his footsteps in professional basketball, four have already done broadcasting. And I know that my son Canyon could be great because he's a pretty bright kid. He's five credits away from getting his master's in nuclear engineering. So he was the All-America player, academic All-America player of the year last year when he was at Florida. So pretty remarkable accomplishment. So, yeah, it's an amazing story. And I'm just thrilled to death that they're good kids. They haven't, done anything to, for them to be ashamed of or me to be ashamed of. They've just done wonderful things with their lives. Hopefully my youngest son will have the same opportunity that my other three of my boys had to play in the NBA.
Hey, Rick, sounds like a great story. With that said, Rick, I do have the rights to do George Gervin's book. So, if you're looking for somebody to do that story, Rick, I'm your man.
Well, I already have somebody talking. I'm already working on doing the book. And I got somebody actually working on doing something with regard to a documentary. But, I don't understand. Like I say, the documentary that should have been done years ago should have been the 1975 championship Golden State Warriors team. Mm. That's a story that should have been told eons ago, especially when I see some of the stories they have of other teams that didn't accomplish anything near what we did.
Yeah, yeah. And Rick, we're going to get you out of here on this question. It's got to be a can. Got to close out on a can question, of course. I got a guy with Kansas connections. Talk about that 1988 Danny and the Miracles team. They were dead in the water at one point. Talk about that ride, Rick, as you were riding along the last month of the season to watch the Jayhawks do what they did with Danny and the Miracle.
Well, it was pretty incredible. I think they still have the record for the most losses of any team to win the NCAA championship, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
I don't know if anybody's ever beaten that record. They had double-digit losses, so that in and of itself is a heck of an accomplishment. But I know what they had gone through, and you know, they never quit. It was incredible to watch my son to be a part of that. And you know, in fact, I joked with him because in the game leading up to the Final Four, they played K-State, and he had a heck of a game coming off the bench. In fact, one of the headlines was, you know, Kansas takes the scooter to the Final Four. And all the publicity that he got, I said, son, do you understand just in that one game that you played and what you accomplished, you probably got more publicity than I got my entire collegiate career and maybe a whole part of my pro career because of the way that they have technology today with, you know, with the internet, with ESPN and everything else. I said, that was a great thing. I was so proud of him to be able to have him play that way. And then, of course, he made what turned out to be the winning free throw. And I actually used that in the entry to some of my speeches when I go, and it talks to them. It's got Brent Musburger on there doing the color comment, doing the commentary, the play-by-play, and they have a close-up shot of me in the stands with a dear friend of mine watching the game and talking about, you know, one of the son of one of the greatest free throw shooters, blah, blah, blah. They got me in the stands, and then he makes that free throw, and I jump up out of my seat and give a big old fist pump, and that's how I end my my introduction. And then so it's pretty cool. So I treasure that. So I, you know, I get more enjoyment out of watching it because right now I watch my son. I watch again. He played last night over in the Czech Republic, and so I get to watch the game that streams for later. And it's such a joy to be able to sit and watch him. I'm just hoping that he continues his career from selfish reasons, not only for him to do well and have a chance to use his potential, but for me to be able to watch a lot more games because I just love when I get the chance to watch my son play.
Well, Richard Francis Dennis Berry III, a.k.a. Rick Berry, once again, we want to take the opportunity from KSTW Radio with Sam Marsh to thank you for joining us on the program.
I have to say one last thing. I have to tell you guys, Houston, Texas is the burial ground of the Berries. Tell me, that's another great trivia question. What's the one city and one franchise in professional sports where a father and two sons all finish their career?
Hey, well, yep, Houston, that's right.
That's right. What are the odds on that?
That's pretty cool.
Rick, a lot of great information you fed us today. Once again, thanks, Rick.
All right, Cordell, get the iPod. Take care, guys. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, Parker, that does it for me this week. I don't know what I have for you next week, Parker, but, you know, I'll have something for you.
All right, Cordell, thanks for calling in, and I'll talk to you later, man.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, and that was Cordell Patrick on the line. When we come back, we'll have Gabe Schrade, former Texas State Bobcat tight end and team captain, calling in just a moment after these quick breaks. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW, San Marcos. All right, guys, that was the one and only Cordell Patrick with Rick Berry. That was his special guest, Parker A., Reed Graff, Andrew Zimmel. Guys, welcome you back to the broadcast. And Reed, you wanted to make a comment about Brent Berry winning the dunk contest back in the day and how he probably didn't deserve it.
I'm not going to say he didn't deserve it.
Stand your ground, please.
All I'm saying is he did the same dunk twice and got like a better grade for the second one just because he came from a different angle. But other than that, it was just a jump from the free throw line twice. That's all he did. But hey, that's still impressive.
I like the energy that Reed's coming with today. I agree. I concur that Brett Berry didn't deserve that dunk contest. I will say this with Rick Berry. The dude wore a toupee at one point in his NBA career. I feel like that's enough.
The legend alone.
That's enough to get you in the Hall of Fame.
Right there.
Yeah, you know, but the Miami Greyhound.
Yeah.
So that's a really impressive get for KTSW. That was a really good interview.
Yeah, as I say, he led the ABA in scoring, led the NBA in scoring, and led the NCAA in scoring, obviously in the seasons he was in there. But that being said, Reed, I want you to get the weather before we go to our 30 break. We have Gabe Schrade on the line. We'll get him back after these commercials. But first, the weather, Reed, if you have it. I know it's supposed to get cold Saturday is what you were saying.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird couple days in the weather. Today, a high of 88, low of 50, because it's going to drop down tonight. Because guess what? The high tomorrow, for whatever reason, is only 56 with a low in the mid-40s. The wind's going to be getting up into the 20s in miles per hour. So stay indoors tomorrow. But then it's good because come Sunday, it'll be sunny again. You know, high of 77, back to Texas weather as we go back and forth. And you can get back to the river on Sunday. And it'll stay like that pretty much all week long until the end of the week. We do have some temperatures getting into the high 80s and even a 90 with some slight chances of rain.
All right, thank you, Reed. We have Gabe Schrade, former Texas State Bobcat team captain and tight end, on the line when we come back. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW, San Marcos.
Class 8 to 2, work 3 to 8, then study for your test at 8 a.m.
Can you schedule a nap?
Maybe for next week.
No matter how organized you are, stress is inevitable. Don't let the stress become unmanageable, though. Take control. Unwind and do something that's going to make you feel good from within. Whether it's taking a nap, going to the gym, or grocery shopping online, relax. Don't forget to utilize resources here at Texas State. The Counseling Center is available if you need someone to talk to. Fight stress with finesse. A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
Monstrous technology.
Politics.
Race matters.
What makes films philosophical?
Philosophy Talk, your link to science, politics, the human condition, and pop culture. Topics like midlife meaning and humble discourse spark conversation and curiosity. Join the discussion on Philosophy Talk, Monday mornings at 7 on KTSW, and peruse different perspectives while expanding your world knowledge. Question the global human experience on Philosophy Talk, right here on KTSW.
Welcome back to KTSW Studios live from San Marcos, Texas, and we have a special guest with us, Gabe Schrade, the former Texas State Bobcat. Mr. Schrade, how are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I appreciate you taking the time to call in. First thing I want to ask you is, this is Parker Ray, by the way. The first thing I want to ask you is, what are you currently up to right now, and what are you kind of doing with yourself as of right now? And I saw you were you had a pro day on one of your social medias a while back, and
Monday.
I think it was Monday, as Andrew points out. And so I just wanted to you give us an update on what you're up to as of right now.
Yeah, sure. Well, January I've been working an internship up in Austin, as well as training for pro day and NFL. And on the 26th of March we had pro day, and it went really well. And I've been gaining some interest from NFL teams, and right now in a waiting period before the NFL draft on the 26th to the 28th. And while my agent tells me I'm probably not a draft guy, I may be a guy that gets a free agent call or at least some NFL tryouts to camp. So I'm dedicating all my time to preparing for that opportunity so that I can go live my dream.
That sounds great, Gabe. You had a pretty good career at Texas State, of course. You didn't put up crazy numbers as a receiver, but you were a very good blocking tight end. You were a 2-year captain, and it sounds like you take a lot of pride in being the captain for 2 years in a row. What did that title mean to you?
Well, I think any time that you have an opportunity to lead, it's a reflection of who you are as a person. And I like to take extreme ownership for all of my responsibilities and my actions. And so leading for me is the pinnacle of all those things. When you get to try and put your footprint on something that you lead, it's a serious matter. And while the records are something that I'm not happy about at all, and that I have to live with for the rest of my life, I am proud of the culture that we established there and building the brickwork and the frame for the success that this program is about to have.
So you mentioned the record, Gabe, Andrew here. You mentioned the record. Do you think that hurt your draft stock?
You know, and that's not for me to decide. That's for the scouts and NFL GM to decide. My job is to play and to lead, and the cards that, you know, I'm dealt, and it's my job to make the best of those things. So, yeah, that's not really for me. My job was to play the best that I could on Saturdays for 4 years and to have the best pro day that I could in March. And I think I put myself in the best position to succeed because of those things.
How do you think that pro day went, Gabe, if you gave yourself like a grade?
Yeah, I think it went well. It was pretty fast-paced, a little faster than I think that all of us expected. But I did really well. If you look at the NFL combine averages of fullbacks and tight ends, I beat the fullbacks in every single one except the 40-yard dash, and then I beat the tight ends in all of them except the broad jump and the 40. So, you know, comparatively, my numbers are there, and the film is there too. So That's something that my agent has been working on. And like I said, it is about getting the word out, because if you don't play on a national platform and win, not winning a lot of games doesn't help with TV coverages and all that stuff. And even in 2018, when scouting is so prevalent and detailed, some guys didn't know about me. So that's something that my agent is trying to work on for me, and we're gaining some interest that way.
That's awesome, Gabe. I guess I got another question for you here. As a guy who has spent time in the Texas State program and has been out of it for a little bit, what is some advice you can give to these incoming freshmen, incoming players coming into Texas State, as a guy who has kind of come in and made his mark on the team?
Okay, I would say understand what you're there for. Texas State is one of the most beautiful campuses in America, and as far as
And I think we may have lost Gabe Schrade there, guys, but if we can get him back, that would be something we could try to do. But, guys, what so far, the phone call just dropped, but what were you noticing so far from his interview? And hopefully we can get him back, guys.
Well, it sounds like he's getting a little bit of rush on his NFL draft pursuit. Like he said, it didn't sound like he was a draft guy, and I kind of expected that. But it is good to hear that he said that – he had set this goal for himself to try and beat out all these NFL draft, you know, what the fullbacks and tight ends have set. And other than the 40-yard dash, he's been able to surpass them. Even that alone's got to be able to get him a little bit of hype.
Yeah, you know, speed's important, but we're going to get him back pretty soon. I think Parker's getting everything prepared. But, you know, speed is part of it. The weightlifting to me is really important, especially for a guy like Gabe. And Gabe's coming right back. Can you hear us now?
Gabe, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, man. We had some technical difficulties. I think the phone call just cut off. But you were talking about leaving your mark on the team and knowing why people are at Texas State for a reason.
Yeah. And like I was saying about the social life, there's something that you can do every night of the week for every week for every semester for 4 years. And I think that that's what a lot of students do, and it's tempting for football players and athletes to be drug into that. But if you put your head down and work, then wins on Saturday are a lot more fulfilling than having a good night on a Monday or Tuesday consistently. And I think that right now, the reason I came to Texas State was to be a part of the first team to go to a bowl game and win a bowl game. And the special thing for incoming freshmen and this team right now is that opportunity is still there. And what a special opportunity it is to write your name down as a part of the team that gets to go put the first ring on their finger. So I would encourage any incoming freshman or current player on the Texas State Bobcat football team to go put their head down and go drive for that goal.
Gabe, you've been here for quite a while, and you're one of the few guys who can say that they were there from before Withers took over and then now moving into the future. And we y'all. Whenever we talk to you guys, we hear so much about a culture change. The guys there want to win. How big of a difference have you seen personally from when they first got here to what you're leaving behind?
Well, I think that there's a huge difference in the fact that when you have a change of coaching staff, you have a change of philosophy and mentality. And a lot of the first year was trying to understand what that was and then getting your feet wet with a new lifestyle, a new mentality, a new philosophy. And then really last year, year two, was more of trying to grow in that. And it's like when you get a new play, the first time you run the play, you're kind of unsure about how the mechanics of the play work. You can see it on the board, but actually running it, you run it slower the first time. But after you practiced it, you're able to run it faster and play at a game speed. And that's kind of what we were able to do it a second year culture-wise. And now that the talent has developed and the guys that Withers brought in are filling the gaps from the roster spots that were left open from the coaching change, I think that those two things are going to come together.
But, I mean, you guys all were winners. Like, everybody that's on this Texas State team that plays Division I football comes from, you know, winning high school programs. So was it just, like, did you change the playbook? Is that what really caused, like, this hiccup?
No, it really was the lack of talent. When Withers came, we had 45 scholarship guys drop or leave throughout the course before the season started. And the margin of error in Division I football is so small that you can't afford to play one guy the entire game. I played 98 snaps at Ohio, and that's not normal. So not having depth, especially on defense, when you're playing fast-paced offenses like ourselves, really takes a toll on your defensive line, your linebackers, and that takes a toll later on throughout the season when you're talking about you play 85 plays a game, you're asking to get hurt. And when you get hurt and have no depth behind it, I mean, we played a bunch of freshmen in 2015, and then those guys were sophomores, but we still played freshmen in 2017. So it's just hard when you put 3 years into a program and you're a senior, you're going to be better than most freshmen. So and that's just the way the senior-led teams and upperclassmen-led teams usually win more football games.
Gabe, you've put it well. You're well spoken. You put it out there, and I do appreciate you calling in. The last thing I want to hand off to you before I let you go. Would you ever be interested in coming back and maybe coaching up the Bobcats and maybe helping out with Everett Withers? And if, would that be a career opportunity that you would be interested in?
I certainly love my guys, and they'll probably tell you that while I'm not like on staff, they still send me their film, mm-hmm. and I still give them some coaching tips and kick them in the butt when they need a little spur. But you know, that's something that if that works out in life, and that's where it is, coaching is a wonderful opportunity to affect young men's lives and to go win. And I'm so competitive that I want to win. And sometimes in business, what I've found in the last 3 months is that winning can be hard to define, and it doesn't feel like there's a lot to lose sometimes. So being out there and being able to go out for a coin toss and look at the other guys in the eyes and know that they want to win too and to go beat them, is an awesome rush. So I'm not sure how long I'm going to be able to stay away from that. Hopefully I get to go do it in the fall for a little while longer.
Well, Gabe, I appreciate you. And whatever you set your mind to, I know you know this game well. You're well-spoken. You're a leader. I think you would do all right. Is there anything you want to say to Bobcat fans or anybody listening before we let you go?
Bobcat fans, I appreciate you. Thank you for all your support throughout the last 4 years. And ATSW, you've always been a friend of the Bobcats and a friend of me. So, much love.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later. All right.
Okay.
Bye. I don't know if I'll talk to him later, but, you know, I had to say it. Anyway, guys, so I thought that interview went pretty well. I dropped off at the beginning with the phone thing, but what did you guys pick up on that?
I enjoyed the conversation. Gabe's a pretty well-spoken dude, and I think he's really got a shot at least getting a roster invite with an NFL team here coming in a few weeks.
Yeah, like a rookie invite, you're correct.
Something like that.
I noticed he said he did good in every category except the 40, and last time I checked, the 40-yard dash was pretty important.
Well, he didn't say he did bad in the 40. He just said he didn't top the...
Well, he said he wasn't at the top of the... He wasn't... Yeah. He said he wasn't in the above the average tight ends and average fullbacks.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about speed, but I was telling Reed this, and I've told Brendan Snow this as well. I said that I don't see, you know, Gabe Schrade being a pass catching tight end. He's a blocking tight end. He's going to be a blocker.
He'd be a good fullback.
Speed doesn't matter.
I mean, yeah.
Speed doesn't matter in the 40. Speed doesn't matter at the 100 or whatever. What matters is his like strength and conditioning. Does he have stamina? And he mentioned playing Ohio, 98 snaps. You know, we talk about it being detrimental to the Texas State football team, and of course it is, having to play freshmen, having to like put sophomores in positions that they might not be completely ready for. But for a guy like Gabe Schrade, who's been doing this, I mean, it's detrimental to the team, but I think it might have helped him in the long term, getting all these snaps, you know, playing. And we didn't talk about it, but I promise you that there was a couple games this year that I bet he was a little banged up, but they had a couple bruises, but... I think that helps you in the long term, playing in these type of conditions that Texas State has put him in.
All right, guys, we're moving on to Texas State baseball. They are 16-12-1. I know Reed's excited to get some baseball, so I'm batting some balls talking here. They have lost one game. That was the midweek game. They're coming in now to play the Louisiana Monroe Warhawks, which the Monroe Warhawks right now are the worst ERA in the Sun Belt. And I looked that up. It was 6.6.
They're also pretty low down there in team batting averages. They are a spot below Texas State at 2.42.
Yeah, and I will say Texas State still has the best ERA in the Sun Belt at 3.70. I don't know how long that stays.
Nick Frase.
Nick Frase was the catalyst for that, and of course Nick Frase has been out
Nick
for
Frase
a while.
Nick Frase is a topic of discussion.
I need him to come back. I've put my entire career on the line with this guy. I love Nick Frase. I think he's the best player on this team. Him not playing, at first I was a little worried. I'm not going to lie. When he didn't get his first, or I guess the first start he missed, I said to Brendan, because we were, talking about it, I said, hey, I think maybe he just has a little bit of a stomach bug, maybe ate, the wrong type of tuna. I don't know. Mild discomfort. Now it's like, hey, where's this guy at? I'd like to have him, come back.
He pitched in that Sunday game in the Coastal Carolina series a few weeks ago and didn't pitch terribly, but he wasn't himself, only going two innings. They pulled him fairly early. I think he gave up two runs. And then he hasn't pitched since. We haven't really seen him. They haven't really told us a lot about him, so it's all speculation at this point. We hope he returns. But as far as this weekend goes,
He returns. Hold on. Do you think that he might not return this season?
He'll return this season, just a matter of when.
I think he will. I think the shoulder injury is what scares Reed. It scares me a little bit.
Especially with pitchers, because the shoulder is where everything happens, shoulder and elbow. So
in that, the last start he had, 2 1/3 innings pitched, 4 runs, 2 hits. I mean, it's not great. Well, 2 earned runs, 4 runs scored.
But we also know he wasn't healthy, because when he's been healthy, he's been lights out.
He was probably hurt during that, for sure.
Oh, right? He was definitely battling. He only went 2 innings. But
yeah.
As far as this weekend series with Louisiana Monroe goes, I'm pretty optimistic. I think Texas State's has a good matchup with them, because Texas State is top of the league in runs allowed and hits allowed. We have the pitching staff, while we don't have Nick, I'm assuming we're not going to have Nick Frase this weekend. I'm just going into the weekend assuming. We don't know if he's pitching that Friday game or not.
I feel that's safe.
We don't know if he's pitching tonight or not. But for argument's sake, I'm going to go ahead and assume that Connor Reich's going to get the start tonight. And then tomorrow we'll probably see Zachary Lee maybe, although he did pitch some in that Tuesday game.
And Wes Engel has been the third day guy.
Wes Engel. While the Bobcats pitching staff hasn't been amazing, it's been a lot better than we thought it was going to be. And the fact that they are still top of the Sun Belt in an earned run average, and their bottoms in hits allowed and runs allowed, especially going against Louisiana Monroe, who's a team that not exactly prolific offensively, I think it's a good matchup for the Bobcats.
Yeah, of course, both teams sit at 4-5 in conference, tied for second in the West Division, with the UTA and Little Rock tied at first with a 6-3 record. That being said, some players I want to talk about for the Bobcats is definitely a guy who has popped off lately is Dylan Paul. I believe he plays left field, the left fielder, batting .313. When I was calling a few games the other day, he had some pretty good contact. He has 2 home runs. He has 1 triple, 7 doubles. And, of course, like I said, he leads the team with .313 average. The next best guy is Jonathan Ortega, who has climbed up the ladder. Ryan Newman, who was sitting at .140, before the Little Rock series, is now up to .162. I know that's not saying much, but this team is starting to get their bats going. It's good to see players like Dylan Paul step up. Newman starting to get that middle of the order is starting to fill out quite nicely. And something I noticed they did was they put Jacob Almendarez at the one spot. And they've been doing that for a while now. And so far, I think it's actually been pretty good for them. I kind of like him batting one. I wanted to get your thoughts on that, Reed, about him batting at the one spot instead of the 9-hole, and see what you thought about that.
Well, he didn't really do a whole lot hitting out of the one spot against UTSA this past week, but it's a good spot for him because he's a very good on-base guy, and he's probably, Coach Harrington has been recorded saying he's the fastest player he's ever had in his 19-year tenure.
Wow.
So obviously he's the kind of guy you want leading off. Now, can he consistently hit and get on base? Because he did start off the year just red hot, was had the highest average on the team. But just looking at what he did, he was 0-4 in their game against UTSA, and then against Baylor in their 6-1 win, he also hit out of the leadoff spot.
Who jinxed that game, by the way? The UTSA
against
game.
UTSA? I don't know.
Who are you blaming for that?
For UTSA?
For jinxing it.
I mean, you could put Barstool Texas State up there.
I throw them up there. I throw a lot of the fans. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say this: every time that anybody from Texas State tweets about a game against UTSA, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, softball, women's lacrosse, doesn't matter. It always ends up with UTSA getting the better hand. So I have making this, this is it. This is the new rule. Texas State present. I'm coming down on this. No more tweeting about UTSA games. It's done.
That's fair. We'll let people think about that after we go to a break here, and we'll come back and figure out what's going on around the rest of the pros, and maybe finish up with Texas State baseball if we feel like it, because it's our show. Anyway, we're coming back after the break. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW, San Marcos.
The Rotary Club of San Marcos is an international organization where like-minded individuals come together to bring about change in local regions and other parts of the world. They offer scholarships to high school students located in the San Marcos area, fund elementary school programs, and house foreign exchange students coming to Texas State from overseas. If you want to learn more about them, you can visit their website at smtxrotary.com. Now go save the world. This has been a message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
Why, hello there. Are you here to listen to In the Public Interest? In the Public Interest is KTSW's news specialty show. The stories are based around the community, such as politics, the economy, and stories from lovely listeners like you. Join in with many other listeners on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays from 11 to 11:30 a.m. If you have a tale to tell, send your stories to ktswnews@txstate.edu. In the Public Interest, where the public is your interest, and you are our passion.
I'm tempted to talk about that promo. It's kind of a sensual type of promo. I don't know if I'm too comfortable with that, talking after that. But anyway.
Parker, quick thing.
What?
Happy birthday to Director of Football Operations, Zach Lucas.
Oh, okay.
Here at Texas State University. Fine. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
We'll be good to him. Zach Lucas, happy birthday. I guess we'll tweet at him or something. Redo that with the Twitter. I don't know if he's listening. I doubt he is. That being said, happy birthday to you anyway. I wanted to look at some ULM players. Of course, they come in 4-5 in conference. They're right there with Texas State. They're about the bottom of the barrel when it comes to ERA, though, and they are the bottom of the barrel in the Sun Belt. That being said, what are some players that actually scare you? I know Johnny De La Cruz, the best average on the team. You also got Chad Bell right up there. Nobody hitting over 300, but they got a player at 294 and a player at 276 and a player at 271 in Joey Jordan. That being said, Reed, are there any players that stand out to you as far as these numbers go?
With ULM, not really. They don't have anybody that's just like, oh, man, that guy is their stud. Johnny De La Cruz seems to be like he's a pretty overall hitter. They have a couple guys hitting in the high 280s around that area. This isn't a team that hits a ton of home runs. They have 20 on the year. They don't really have any players that makes you go, man, we need to prepare for that guy. But this is still a solid baseball team. ULM has always had a pretty good baseball program, so you can't just sleep on them.
How much you want to bet Monday? I come back and I'm like, hey, guess what? There was one guy that beat the Bobcats in every single game. What do you think? You think that could happen?
Are you talking about there's one guy like on the ULM
Warhawks
that we were just overlooking that we didn't name? No, it's odds are. I mean, you look at the average. Well,
Thing with baseball, though, you know.
Well, that was the thing with Little Rock. Their number 9 hitter, I think it was Ryan Benavidez, I want to say, came in and had a great series against us, and he was batting in the 100s before, and then after he played us, he was in the 200s. So
that's the thing about baseball is that anybody can pop off at any moment and run a series.
The odds, so I definitely wouldn't take that bet, but I'm just saying, De La Cruz, 290 average, watch out. And we're playing in Louisiana Monroe, so that's another thing. Texas State away from home isn't too promising, but we'll see how they do it.
I will say this: I'm looking at all the category leaders, and it's top 12 in pretty much every single one of them. And the only one I'm seeing a ULM player even on the list is at the bottom of the on base percentage with Francis Turner or Turner Francis. I'm sorry. Yeah. So they don't have. I guess Peyton Lacoste is tied for third in the Sun Belt in runs batted in with 29. But like I said, they just don't have that one stud. Like if you look at Coastal Carolina, it's Kevin Woodall. Kevin Woodall is leading the conference in home runs with 12.
So you're saying this is a winnable series for Texas State?
Absolutely.
Every series is winnable
with Texas State baseball.
Not every
series. But this is a very good matchup for the Bobcats.
Yeah. So they're 3-5-1 away from home, away from San Marcos.
Yes.
I'm going to go 2-1. They go on the series.
All right. Well, that's what I was saying. I was about to hit on the away record, so I'm glad you covered that there.
Like a blanket.
You know?
Here's what I'm going to say. If Nick Fraze pitches tonight, they'll get the sweep.
when Nick Frase pitches tonight. Nick, we need you.
If he doesn't, I'm going to go 2-1.
You know what, guys? Okay. Well, if Nick Frase comes back, I don't know if he will, but I guess we'll find out. They don't tell us anything. But anyway, that being said, the next game is today at 6 o'clock, 5:45 pregame. Andrew Zimmel will be producing. I believe Brant Freeman will be on the call. Sorry, I didn't mean to unite you guys in holy matrimony.
Freeman and Zimmel on the call, I wish.
Yeah, okay. I will say tonight's projected starter is Connor Reich.
All right, well, that's, I mean, I kind of expected that.
Connor Reich, Wes Engel, and the third game is to be announced.
Oh, I guess they moved Zachary Lee out of the thing, but oh well, we'll see. That being said, we'll move on to some pro talk. I want to talk about, I know you were hinting on a Boston Celtics trade that could be something worth talking about.
You wanted to talk Conor McGregor.
But yeah, I was going to say, we could talk about that, or we could talk about Conor McGregor. I'd rather talk about Conor McGregor.
All right, let's do it real quick. So Conor McGregor gets in a fight yesterday at Brooklyn, the 223 UFC fight night, mm-hmm. You know, big fight, his entourage versus kind of the security guards.
Yeah, it wasn't even like him having a fight with a specific person. It was him just going there to disrupt things.
Well, no, obviously the tour bus started it, Reed.
So all three, or I wouldn't say there's three undercard fights.
It was him and the bus.
The tour bus.
That was the fight.
Three undercard fights get canceled tonight. We were talking about, like, this is, you know, a big deal, pay-per-view. It's not something to laugh at. Dana mm-hmm. White has said, like, he might get fired. He might get fired from UFC, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I don't think they're going to fire their number one guy, but that's fine. You know,
yeah. He was hesitant when asked directly, will Conor McGregor still be in the UFC? He basically said, well, he's an independent contractor. I can't say. But that's basically, I think he was kind of deflecting. I mean, what are you going to do if the face of your franchise, the face of your organization does something like that? What do you do? I mean, a lot of money goes into Conor McGregor.
Well, they were working on a new deal. Like apparently, this is what Dana White said all week going into before this. So they were working on getting a new deal so he could get back into the UFC and start fighting again.
They were trying to work with him, and they were going to push him straight to the top.
So that's what has me so confused is what was his motive. We don't know. He turned himself into police Thursday and was arrested and charged with 3 counts of assault and 1 count of criminal mischief.
Yeah.
So he is facing criminal charges.
Cool.
But that being said, isn't that cool? That's good. Andrew, you have a potential trade that could be involving. Now this is just you, but this could be involving the Boston Celtics and the San Antonio Spurs. Please break that down Spurs fans listening.
So Kawhi Leonard is not going to be in the Spurs jersey next year. I think everybody should have come to this conclusion yet. So the Boston Celtics have been collecting these picks, collecting these players, great young players, this entire time. They've been trying to get Anthony Davis for I want to say 3 years now. Finally, it's coming out, leaking out through, you know, ESPN that they're kind of, you know, moving away from Anthony Davis, that the Pelicans haven't given them a good trade. They just can't get Anthony Davis away from the Pelicans. That's fine. Kawhi Leonard's the next best young player available on the trading block. Jason Tatum could potentially be the next best offensive player since Carmelo Anthony, just for a bucket getter. Defensively, he's a stud.
I saw on Twitter you compared Jason Tatum to a mixture of Paul George and Carmelo.
Yeah.
Are you still sticking to that?
Yeah, I'll stick to that. I really do think that all Jason right. Tatum can play very good defense. He's done a really good job with Brad Stevens. Now, if you want to argue that's the system, Popovich is like the next level of, you know, system players. Jaylen Brown, number 3 overall pick in 2 years ago's draft, so he's a sophomore player this year, playing really well. I don't think that the Celtics give both of them up. I think that they give one of them up and then maybe a fill-in player and a couple picks. I don't think they're going to give up two of the best young wing players in the league. So one of those two players is going to end up in the Spurs jersey. Kawhi Leonard is going to end up in Boston.
Reed, quick, before we have like 50 seconds left, what is your response to that as a Spurs fan? Do you think Kawhi's gone?
I don't think so. I think they're gonna somehow. It's because the thing is that the problem's not with Kawhi; it's with his family, right? So you have to think
his uncle mainly.
It's his uncle, so
we'll steal him away from his family.
His uncle's always gonna come first.
My point is the Spurs have a history of working their way out of these kind of injured relationships and whatnot. I believe they're gonna pull it off again.
All right, well that'll do it. You heard it here from Parker Ray, Reed Graff, and Andrew Zimmel on the Friday show. We'll be back next week from Friday 11 to noon right here on KTSW, Sam Marcus.
Oh my gosh, I got into college, but now I don't know what to do. If only there was a place that could help me.